You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is Good Morning
Liberty. I noticed since Costco wants to be a host, he hasn't been berating me as
much. Weird.
Isn't that something?
Well, what's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Good Morning Liberty. My name is Nate Thurston. Across from me is Mr. Charles Chuck Thompson. How's it going today, Chuck?
Fat Chuck.
What if I just did the whole episode like this the whole time?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, we got a lot of new listeners coming in right now because of our killer advertising that we're doing on Twitter at the moment.
X.
X. Yeah. Sorry. Everyone's like, Twitter? What do you mean? I've never heard of such a website before.
Twitter ads use X. Sucked.
Yeah.
X ads is where it's at.
So
X ads. It's one word.
Yeah. Way better.
X ads.
Actually, it is way better because we weren't allowed to run ads on Twitter, but we are allowed to run ads on X.
How about that?
So that's good. That's a good thing. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the show. Charlie and I have been best good friends for going on like 20 years, something like that. I don't know what it is. Yeah. And
speak for yourself.
We've got a lot of episodes out there. This is episode 1225. Holy crap, that's a lot of episodes. Yeah. We had a 500th episode party, and honestly, I thought we were going to be done within a month, you know, of that party. And instead, we pressed on. And now we're at 1225, and we have.
Now we're even closer to giving up than we used to be.
Every day, we get closer to stopping this show. And so if it's your first time listening, welcome. This is one of the least prepared episodes out of all 1225. So I hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy explaining these things to you. Like the fact that it's getting weird at Columbia. Getting kind of weird. You know how protests, they tend to get weird sometimes. And we had some conversations about the student protests going on. I agree and disagree with almost everything that almost everyone is saying out there. I don't agree with calling everyone a terrorist who is a pro-Palestine protester. And I don't agree with calling everyone anti-Semitic if they don't like Zionism, stuff like that.
Or if they don't like kids being killed.
I also don't like people who support Hamas or say that it was a good thing that all of these people in Israel were killed on October 7th or want all of the Jews to die.
Or take over buildings that don't belong to you.
That's one of the main, actually, sadly enough, that is the main thing I don't like out of this entire situation. Yeah. That's just how libertarian we are, because property rights are the foundation of why America is America. Like, I know it sounds like I'm cliche, I'm going to get the flag, I'm going to wrap it around me like Charlie had it last week and all that stuff. But property rights being recognized by your government is the reason that America became what America was supposed to be, and then it was destroyed in 1913, and then it was destroyed further after the JFK assassination and stuff like that. But we won't get into all of that stuff right now. And so
that's for episode 1289.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to put that on the schedule for 1289. When it comes to these colleges, especially a private university, I believe that they have the right to decide, hey, I don't want you guys camping on our stuff. You see that stuff right there? It's not yours. It's mine. I know that you pay to be here and all of that, but I don't know. You also pay to go to a movie theater, and we all know you can't yell fire when you're in there, the Supreme Court case decided that. Apparently, no, they didn't. That's a joke. They didn't actually decide that. But you get the idea. You know, you can't just pay for a place and a right to go to an establishment and then do whatever you want.
Okay? There's something in my eye.
I know. I can see. You're really losing it over there. Charlie has something. It's his finger. I say it's your fist. You put your whole fist in your eye right now. I found the problem. What's going on? Okay, Columbia students are occupying a university building as tensions rise on campus. The student protesters at Columbia University declared Tuesday morning that they have taken over a building near the campus of South Lawn, raising the prospect of further turmoil at the Ivy League institution. Hours earlier, the university started suspending students who refused to leave a pro-Palestinian encampment on campus grounds. So, if they wanted to control this, they didn't shut it down soon enough. They tried to make concessions and do a deal and do negotiations with the people that are holding these protests. And keep in mind, this is their private property, and they didn't want people to be there. So they could have done what some other colleges did, which is stop it right when it started, although they were kind of ground zero for this, and all the other colleges were a little bit more ready for it when this whole thing popped up. And now they've got all these kids there, and it's been going on for a week or more, however long it's been going on. And they're saying, hey, we're going to start suspending you. And these little children that are there paying a bunch of money to be there have decided to take over some. I know that you know, this sounds exaggerated, but here's a few videos we can watch of what's going on over there at Columbia.
Blockade. Ready? Circle blockade around these three. We're going to move them out. Let's go.
Not a human chain.
Get someone. Wrap around. Get inside. Red, back up. Red, back up by the center door. Red, back up by the center door.
This isn't how you do that. Come on.
Yes, it is. It's
100%
assault.
I got it all on video.
Red back up 100% assault. Yeah, sir, this is 100% assault. This is 100% assault.
All right, so there's a little bit of what's going on. How about some more of what's going on? Let's see. This person says, this is why Columbia was foolish for thinking a deadline was going to work. Appeasement is never a good strategy. 17 seconds. You see a Palestinian flag being hung from one of the windows. Whatever. Once again, chanting, which means everyone there is stupid. Here's a little bit more.
Problem this is?
Whose?
Parents.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'd chop a credit card up so fast. You know?
Yeah.
If it was my son out there doing that, chop a credit card up. And how you like them apples? And just chop it.
I think chop
the American Express would be a little tough. It's, you know, made out of metal.
You don't know about chop. I'll chop your credit card in half.
Yeah. I'll chop them.
Okay. I said this one of the first times we talked about it. I'm not going to lie and say that I see these and I'm just horrified and everything. I see these and I feel a little bit of joy, just a little bit. I'm sorry, but this is Columbia's own fault because these wild, radical leftist factories that charge people exorbitant amounts of money to bring them there and then make them into crazy people and just give in to their every little whim and validate their feelings and tell them that they are somehow, that at Columbia, they're somehow oppressed people as well.
That they're perfect just the way they are. Yeah. They have no room to grow. They could save the world. And this is them. This is them using their education to save the world.
It is. They learned this at this school.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Columbia might be upset that these kids are using their degrees that they got or that they're about
to get. They're working on.
against the university.
Yeah.
But
how, you know, communists. They,
yeah.
You know, even if you were a staunch supporter.
Like at the end of my music degree, I was supposed to give a piano recital. And this is kind of like a piano recital that they're giving right now, only it's like a radical leftist protest recital that everyone's giving. And if they do a good job, then they're going to be able to pass and get their degrees afterwards.
This is their dissertation.
So I at least sometimes like to see the chickens when they were somewhere else, they left. And now, you know what happens? The chickens, they follow this path and they
have come home.
They come home. You know, and then they roost after they get there.
With roosters.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do. And this is a perfect example of chickens coming home to roost. This is a picture of people reaping what they've sown. It's all of the different, whatever idioms or metaphors or whatever it is that you want to call them. That's what this is.
Now, okay? I do want to say I'm against war.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like innocent, especially innocent women and children, even though we don't know what women are. I don't like them dying.
Well, if they identify as women, then you're against them dying.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, and especially children. Children are obviously innocent. It doesn't matter what age they are. So I'm against that.
That is a bold position to take.
However, I do believe that Israel has a right to defend themselves, considering that Hamas sent paraglider troopers.
Yeah,
and murdered like 1,500 Jewish people at a festival. Mm-hmm. And going door to door shooting babies in the head. I do think you have a right to defend yourself. I do think that Hamas has been very explicit and clear in the fact that they won't stop until all Jews are eradicated.
Yeah.
So then you got to defend against that. You don't have to wait until they try to eradicate you. They've already said, like, hey, I want to eradicate you.
I'm going
to
beat your war drum for you while you're talking.
So it makes it a very complicated thing. I think that you can hold two truths at the same time.
Yeah. Sometimes both sides are wrong.
Yes.
In a conflict,
which is you can be against war and the killing of innocent people, and also be for people being allowed to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And can have both.
Yes.
Now, I do think that we are advanced enough, especially in the Western world. Israel should be advanced enough that we could probably wage this war in a different way by sending in, you know, assassins to find the Hamas members amongst the population and kill them that way.
Yeah.
Get rid of them that way rather than dropping bombs on entire buildings where the collateral damage is going to be whatever it is now. Israel, I think, says around 5,000. Hamas is saying 100 million.
somewhere in between those.
Somewhere in between there. It's probably closer, I would say, 5,000 to 10,000. That's way too many innocent lives.
I would say it's like 30,000 or so.
You know, the United States ended up killing over 100,000 innocent civilians in the Iraq War alone.
In Iraq War 2.
Iraq War 2.
That's not even counting. You remember the whole thing with the sanctions and 500,000 dead Iraqis, you know, and it was worth that.
Over the last 20 years, I think it's over a million people that we've killed. We've probably displaced tens of millions of people with war. I'm against all of that.
But what Israel needs to learn here is that we weren't really successful with all of our, like they keep saying, well, look at what the U.S. did after 9/11, you know, of course. And I'm like, yeah, what the U.S. did after 9/11.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Right.
A lot of innocent people died.
We spent $10 trillion.
We're no more safer.
Yeah.
Than we were. In fact, we probably made a lot more enemies and destabilized that whole region. So maybe a more balanced and strategic approach would have been better. Now, what these students are protesting, by the way, not just the war, but their goal is to try and get to get Columbia, couldn't remember the name of the school, Columbia to divest from their investments in Israel. Columbia has a $13 billion endowment, and they want them to divest from investments in Israel. Now, what I can't find, and maybe it's out there somewhere, is how much money Colombia actually has invested in Israel. You say, well, they have a $13 billion endowment. I saw a breakdown, and 24% of that is actually stuff that's in U.S. and foreign companies.
Like okay. The S&P 500.
Yeah, things like that. And then other foreign companies. So about 25% of that, that pool of money, some of that might be invested in Israel. Some of it. You might get down to maybe it's 1% of their $13 billion. It's probably less than that. It's probably 0.5% of their $13 billion endowment that's invested in that. It's probably less than that. It's probably 0.25% of their, it'd be funny if I just kept
I know, it's,
all
I was going to say,
down.
It's probably less than that.
It's probably 0.125%.
Yeah. They give Israel is. 10 yeah. bucks, okay? $10. Pull back your 10 bucks.
So we don't know exactly that I've been able to find in my research this morning how much money they have invested in Israel. And that is what this protest was supposed to achieve, was to get them to take away those investments. And if that is your goal, okay, whatever, I get it that that's your goal. What if you just said, hey, all of us students, we're just going to leave. We're not going to give you guys any money anymore. Not we're going to try and control you and control where your money goes. In a market, what you would say is, we're not going to pay you guys $90,000 a year and have some of that go towards Israel. So we're going to go somewhere else who's not invested in Israel. We'll find that we'll get a website, pops up immediately, says, here's all the schools that aren't invested in Israel. This is where you should go. And then they leave. And then if that's important enough to the school, they could say, well, we just lost all of these students, you know, and now our DEI score went down because we were supposed to have a certain percentage of terrorists here, you know, and now we don't have them anymore. And so that's sad. And they can decide what. So what I want to say to the students is,
I can't get over
is,
the fact that you sounded a little bit like Christopher Walken there for a second.
Did I? Well, yeah. It was purely accidental.
I know. Yeah. I said, we lost all of these students.
Someday I'll work on that impression, but it's just not going to work.
That's what I heard it in my head. We lost.
I'll have to go back. I can't do it. I have to go back and find that on the tape and see if I can get back into that moment.
There we go.
Sometime. The other thing I would tell them is, let's say it's a percent of their endowment, which it's not. I guarantee you it's not. Why are they protesting the university when that's almost no money? And then you got a president who just signed on to give them $14 billion of what's also your money, you know, could have gotten rid of your student loans or something. No, that's not what he should do.
They could have ended homelessness.
Yeah, they could have almost ended homelessness with that money that they're going to give Israel. Why aren't they protesting in Washington, D.C.? There are people protesting in Washington, D.C. Don't get me wrong there, but they're just going after their college and trying to control the private entity and where their money is going. There's a lot of other people that are giving Israel money. And at the end of the day, what do they think is going to be achieved other than some false virtue signaling achievement that they cut out $100 million of investment from Israel? Like, that's going to do, like, at the end of the
also,
day,
they're
if they
invested
succeed,
in like Israel businesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not invested in like the Israeli government.
Yeah. They could be invested in
banking.
Yeah. Milwaukee Tools, which is made in Israel, by the way. They could be invested in that.
They can be invested in diamonds.
Yeah.
Could be
something like that.
You know?
So what are they actually going to change? The craziest part about this is that this entire protest movement is over something that, if they succeed, would give them nothing other than some false virtue flag that they can wave and say that they're doing something when it's not actually going to change anything at all. And so that's the weirdest part to me with this whole protest thing going on. So anyhow, that's that. On the flip side of this, you've got some other really dumb stuff.
Here's another thing I don't understand, though. Okay, when somebody in live group said they want gender equality in Gaza, what's so weird to me is, if you look at Hamas or the Palestinian state or what they actually believe, it goes against like every other leftist belief of these people who are protesting in college. It makes no sense. It's like, okay, So what are you protesting for? Mm-hmm. You know, for the killing to stop? And then what? Are you going to start protesting Palestine because they kill gay people in the street?
Yeah.
If they throw them off of top of buildings and stone them to death still?
No, they'd rather protest Florida for not letting you teach anal sex in the fourth grade.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
What is the actual goal here? They like literally Palestine goes against every other belief. They would be the enemy if not for their position on the current victim totem pole.
That's the thing. You have to look at the victim totem pole. And right now, is there a perceived oppressor above the Palestinian people? And to them, there is. It's Israel. And this is a oppressor colonizer state. And these are a group of people that are currently being oppressed. And now all of those other things, they don't currently
Israeli
matter.
Or they're whitish.
Yeah.
You know,
whitish, something like that, depending on your actual ethnic background, I guess. And so currently right now they rank higher on the victimhood totem pole. Now
that's why Elizabeth Warren's Native American heritage is important.
It is, because she has to build the totem pole in the first place.
Exactly. You know? Otherwise,
you wouldn't be able to have it.
You wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
That makes total sense now. I've been trying to figure this one out for a while.
Bipartisan legislation would let the government create speech-chilling anti-Semitism monitors to put at college campuses, more than likely college campuses that receive government funding, which is all of the college campuses. Maybe just the public ones, I'm not sure, but they all live off of government funding. This came out on Friday, I believe, but on Friday, several House representatives introduced legislation that would permit the Education Department to create third-party anti-Semitism monitors at any college receiving federal funding. Okay, so
what kind of monitors? Like recording devices?
I'm not sure. I guess they're going to walk around or something. They're going to, put microphones around the campus. And they'll probably just have an office of anti-Semitism monitoring that people will report to, and then they'll report back to the Education Department. The purpose of the bill, the full text of which is not available, is to crack down on rising anti-Semitic speech on college campuses. However, the bill's supporters fail to consider how anti-Semitism monitors would create a chilling effect, curbing academic freedom and encouraging colleges to punish protected expression. This is a really weird thing for me for any Republicans to get on board with. Now, this is introduced by a Republican and a Democrat from New York, but I think it's called something like the Columbia Act. Yeah, and of course, it's so crazy that all these very important words lined up to spell the word Columbia, but the College Oversight and Legal Updates Mandating Bias Investigations and Accountability
Act
or Columbia Act. Mm-hmm. Just when the stars align and every word that you wanted your bill to be called comes together to spell the word Columbia, then you know it's a good idea.
Yeah, and you thought all these exercises were pointless in school, when you'd have a word and you would have to make up other words from each letter.
Yeah.
You thought that was pointless. Well, this is your education on display here.
So I just want to say this is
I bet the staffer, who came up with that is so thrilled.
Yeah, they are. The idea that you would have the education department come onto a campus and monitor speech that they determined to be hate speech is really ridiculous, and Republicans should not be on board with this whatsoever. Mm-mm. Because before the whole anti-Semitism thing, we had a bunch of other speech that was being chilled on college campuses, and that was Republicans who tried to go to college campuses and speak, or student organizations, people who were against the trans agenda or whatever the thing is that you're thinking of right now. And those were people that were spewing hate speech out there and could get in trouble. And so what you're saying is the government has the right to put monitors on college campuses that receive federal funding, which they have to receive federal funding because the federal government has made college so expensive that if you don't receive federal funding, it would be almost impossible to have a college. So that's all of the colleges. And they're going to be anti-Semitism monitors. But what about monitors for all of the other forms of hate speech that people deem to be available out there in our common usage. I can think of a lot of things that people on the left would say are hate speech. This is not a good idea. And even though they receive federal funding, I do not agree with the fact that you would go out there and police what's considered to be hate speech and also what's considered to be anti-Semitism, because what is anti-Semitism? These days, if you're opposed to Israel's conduct in the war, then you could be anti-Semitic. If you're opposed to Zionism and the idea of moving people to the homeland and to Israel and settling this area, if you're opposed to this, you could be anti-Semitic. There's all kinds of ways that you could be called an anti-Semite these days. We've known this for a really long time, but now because of the war, it's become fashionable, I guess, to say someone's anti-Semitic, and then to, even if you're a Republican, to agree with that. So this is very dangerous, okay? It encompasses way too many things. It encompasses things that aren't even hate speech, could just be political disagreements with the state of Israel, by the way, which is not the Bible Israel, okay? I'm sorry, a bunch of men and women running a government in the year 2024 does not necessarily connect to this is the Israel, the holy Israel from the Bible, and everything that they do is right because this is Israel. It's just not.
Yeah.
These are corruptible and corrupt men and women running a gang that has land in a certain spot in the world. All right. And we got to be able to separate those two things. Religion and state, in this case, you got to look at those two things separately.
Free speech is necessary for hate speech.
It is.
Yeah.
You got to.
You should allow it.
If you don't allow hate speech, then you don't have free speech.
Exactly.
All right. Before we go any further, I'm going to talk to you guys about how our money is losing value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. So what if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars, where it's definitely getting inflated away? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. It's your metal and you're in control. Monetary Metals originates and thoroughly qualifies any opportunity before it's listed on their platform. And if you don't like an opportunity, you can simply opt out. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from them at less than 1% over spot, or you can use the gold that you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. So opt out of the Fed's corrupt financial system and get on your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. It's an honest return on honest money the way it's supposed to be. Visit monetary-metals.com/GML for more information or to get started opening your account. Okay, let's move on to maybe one other subject here before we get out of here today. I do have a hard stop coming up in like 10 minutes. Let's see, we'll skip past this one. How about this question that Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about a new poll?
Is she still the... She's still the press secretary.
They can't. What are they going to do? Fire her? They can't fire her.
Yeah.
There's no possible way they could do. They would sue themselves for discrimination.
She's a WOC. Yeah,
they can't do that.
Yeah.
She's a woman of all sorts of other different letters. Mm-hmm. She's a WOC plus.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right.
So let's hear this exchange from her.
Our new CBS News poll found that registered voters in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania believe that they would be financially better off if Trump wins. How do you explain that?
I'm going to be careful because we're talking about registered voters. We're talking about a candidate now.
If you couldn't hear it, by the way, the question was, a new CBS News poll found that most registered voters believe they'd be better off financially if Trump wins. What is your response to that, KJP?
Obviously, the former president who's now a candidate. I got to be mindful of the Hatch Act, and so can't can't speak to that specifically, but what I will say more broadly is we understand what Americans have gone through. We understand that the pandemic was a heavy, heavy burden on Americans. We understand that Putin's aggression into Ukraine caused inflation to rise, right? Pandemic caused inflation to rise, caused damages to the supply chain. Yeah. And so that's why the president took action. The American Rescue Plan obviously was incredibly important in turning the economy around, dealing with the supply chains. And we also understand that prices are still too high. They're still too high. So this is why you hear us talk about junk fees. This is why you hear us talk about lowering prescription drugs. It is important, making sure that big corporations and billionaires pay their fair share. And so we're going to do more work. And we're hoping that message gets through to the American people. That's why you've seen the president in New Hampshire, in Las Vegas, in Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm so tired of this fair share thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, rich people pay all the taxes. All of them.
Almost all of them.
Literally, basically, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Income taxes, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Almost all of the taxes are paid by rich people. Almost all of them. Like the bottom 50% pay basically nothing. In fact, some of them even get money from the government without paying anything.
When you go to the bottom 20%, it's like negative 2% that they pay in taxes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yes. And then even if you're middle class, you don't pay that much relatively in taxes. I believe my effective rate, I've got a decent CPA. My effective rate was somewhere around 18%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like that's not that much, and I make pretty decent money,
mm-hmm.
Comparatively. And then people above me pay way, but my 18% is going to be a lot more actual physical money, than other people's, you know, whatever 10% or 5% or negative 2%. Rich people pay literally 90% of the taxes.
It's not fair enough.
This fair share is so ridiculous.
So there's something else that she said in there, which, you know, when she says we understand what Americans are going through and we understand that prices are too high and we understand it's been a tough go. And then she flips over to, but none of that was our fault at all.
Yeah.
Only the good things that happened were because of us, and every bad thing that happened was because of someone else.
The pandemic and Putin.
Mm-hmm. The pandemic caused supply chain disruptions, as we discussed. They were smart when they created the pandemic in a lab. They worked in a specific genome and a cleavage site that would would attach itself to your supply chain.
Everybody heard about the spike protein, but you didn't hear about the supply protein.
No.
You know, that was a hidden protein in the genome of this virus.
Yeah. It took a lot more studying to figure that one out, of course. And then Putin. And we understand that Putin's aggression caused a lot of, you know, inflation to spike. It wasn't the money supply being spiked up by like 40% or something in a year or a span of...
Yeah, wasn't the $6 to $8 trillion we injected into the economy.
It's not all the extra borrowing that's happening, not the massive deficits that we have and sending out more and more money into the economy that doesn't need to be sent out, borrowed and then sent out into the economy. It's not that. It was that Putin invaded Ukraine and it was that the pandemic caused supply chain problems. Mm-hmm. Now, there were some supply chain problems, and I think regardless of what the U.S. did, probably would have had some issues around the world. We get a lot of stuff from China, and China's going to China, okay? And so we would have had issues with that.
China ain't all over the world.
All over everyone's faces, they China, okay? And
I like how it's become a verb. You just got China'd.
But the fact that they can't take responsibility. It's an election season, plus their politicians. It's literally impossible for them to take any responsibility.
You know what's weird is if they took responsibility, they might win.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what? If you say, hey, we tried this, it didn't work. We've got new plans. Like, we're willing to look at things that aren't working and say, hey, those don't work. Mm-hmm. That's our fault. let's shift gears. A lot of people might be like, oh my God, yeah.
Those are real human beings.
Wow. Wow, you're not lying to my face. Yeah. I don't feel like a crazy person.
Oh, wow.
You know? If you take responsibility, that's what's so weird is that you might actually garner more votes.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't.
They can't do it.
No one in position of power can.
No, because they might lose their power.
Yes.
And then you wouldn't trust them every single time get this, it's a scary situation. If they say jump, what if you said why?
Yeah.
That's like the scariest environment imaginable for a politician or a person who's in power. And so they can't have you asking why. They can't have you questioning whether or not they could be right in what they're doing. So I think we'll have to cut it off there because I do have an interview with someone coming up here in just a few minutes, and then another interview, and then another one, and then I have one more after that, and then four more tomorrow.
Yes.
So
if you like interviews, they're coming.
Yeah, we got a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, a lot of different topics that we're going to be covering here over the next week or so on the show.
Yeah. All right. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend. Visit all the links in the show notes. Support our sponsors that support this show. That's what you can do to help us out. If you want to spend your hard-earned, cold, hard Putin cash on this show, go to joingml.com. Do all those things or don't. I don't really care until if you do, then we'll be back again tomorrow for a regular episode.
Yeah. And then a bunch of other not regular episodes.
And then we'll have some interviews while Nate is in Peru,
mm-hmm.
gallivanting around the dangerous parts of a third world country.
What if I actually don't make it back?
Seeing what he can do to institute liberty.
I'm going to try.
Among the Peruvians.
I might not come. I might end up being like a libertarian presidential figure while I'm over there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hit
it's
up.
Possible.
Hit up Javier.
Yeah. He's.
Yeah, you know him on a first name basis now.
Probably like 2,000 miles away from there, but
what do you call him? Jay? What up, Jay?
JM.
Okay, JM. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, hit him up and be like, hey, we're not that far away right now, and you want to hang out, see what he says.
I'll hit him up, yeah. I'll shoot him a text.
There might be a potential dumb bleep of the week with a guest host who hates me and me
and you,
so we'll see. It's potential. We do what we want on the show, though, so I have no idea. It's a potential. I like the idea.
I think it'll be fun.
It would be fun. Do all the things or don't. And if you do or don't, we'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you have a good day and a good morning, Liberty.